tempo for this evening and for tomorrow. And it's awesome to say that as we've gathered together this month of December, to address the fact that it's all about when God came down, our theme for the week or the month of December regarding Christmas, I just get a total absolute kick out of two things. And number one is realizing that already in parts of the world, just hours past Hawaii on the international dateline, it's already tomorrow. And Christmas is being celebrated. It's being celebrated in nations where it's illegal. People are celebrating Christmas. It's being celebrated in countries where it's not easily understood. And yet people are talking about it. It's, in a way, celebrated in places where it is absolutely forbidden, where other religions forbid the Christmas message that you just saw on the screens. And yet people in secret, people with doors closed and windows shut, are remembering that this is the day that Jesus Christ is recognized and coming into the world. And that is an awesome thing to think of. It is the number one most recognized day in all of the world. It doesn't mean that you agree with it or not, because in some cultures they won't agree with it, or in some religions they try to deny it. But in the back of their minds, it's there. Oh, it's Christmas. How can you get away from it? I went online and I looked at some nations, and some of them are very precious because they may not even be known to some of you. Very, very small countries, very small nations, but real big on Christmas. They decorate the entire island, which is a nation, and they celebrate Christmas. And they have coconut trees, and they have it rigged with lights, and they're praising the Lord and reading the Bible. And then you think of places that many of our hearts are dear to. For example, in Russia, think of the Christmas celebrations going on in Moscow, where people are bundled up, and they will celebrate Christmas in their own way, and it's a wonderful culture and custom. It's going on all around the world, but why? Why is it? And tonight I want to share with you a verse that is off the beaten path regarding Christmas. And you can turn in your Bible if you have one. If not, just listen carefully. It is awesome. It is found in Hebrews chapter 12. And it begins at verse 22 down to verse 24. And this is what the author of the book of Hebrews says. He says, "For we have come to Mount Zion." Now listen carefully. "To the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to the thousands of his angels in joyful assembly." We have come to the assembly of God's firstborn children, whose names are written in heaven. We have come to God himself, who is the judge of all people. And we have come to the spirits of the redeemed in heaven, who have now been made complete. We have come to Jesus, the one who mediates the new covenant between God and the nations by the sprinkling of his blood. And I want to talk about that in our last time together regarding Christmas, as we have celebrated it this month here at this church. And these declarations that I believe it's Paul the Apostle who wrote the book of Hebrews, when Paul says, "We have come," he says, "we've come to Mount Zion." He's not talking about the Zion that's in Jerusalem. He's talking about something that's completely different. In fact, listen, he says, "We've come to Mount Zion." Number two, "We've come to the living God, and we've come to the heavenly Jerusalem." And then he adds, he says that, "We have come before thousands of his angels in joyful assembly." Church, listen. Friends, listen. When we celebrate Christmas, it transcends everything that our culture would say is Christmas. It transcends the shopping. It transcends the push, the pressure, all the stuff that's going on in your mind right now. "Pastor Jack, are you going to end on time so I can get the roast going or the turkey in the oven?" And yes, we will end on time. But you know that pressure? It's been like that in our home. Pressure. Got to go here. Got to do that. Got to get this done. Got to be there and, you know, supposed to do this and supposed to do that. All the pressure. And look, let's be honest. We try real hard to celebrate the holiday that Jesus Christ has come. And even in our attempt to celebrate it, we wind up derailing it because we wind up making it almost a bummer because of all the self-imposed pressure. I'm wondering if God doesn't want us just to realize that We ought to come to Mount Zion. And he's talking about the Mount Zion that is the spiritual Zion, the Zion that's in heaven. You know, it's all about heaven that this whole thing comes together. We're here tonight and we're all, you know, dressed up for this evening, but it's all about heaven. You're going to open up gifts either tonight after service or tomorrow, but it's all about heaven. All of those things are pictures and types of what God did. We sang about it tonight, that God sent his gift to the world. That's why we give gifts to one another. It's all about Christ. We have come to Mount Zion, he announces. Zion, Mount Zion, in heaven above. There's going to be a day when all those of you who trust, believe, and look to Jesus will gather once again without parking, without lines, without extra chairs, without overflow rooms. We're going to be in heaven. We'll be in the Mount Zion of God, to the city of the living God. How is that going to be? The city of our living God, forever living. No death will be there. No sickness, no disease. There'll be no danger. I've seen the firemen here tonight. They got the fire truck here. There's a couple of cop cars parked over across the street, you know, doing their thing. And we're glad that they're doing their thing. But in heaven, when we gather to the dwelling place of the living God, there'll be no need for the fire department. There'll be no need for the police department. The Bible says there's going to be absolute righteousness there. It's going to be absolutely perfect. It's going to be wonderful. And Jesus came to announce to us. And listen, Jesus came to announce to us that there's a place for us to go. What an awesome thing that is. We kind of skim over that too quickly. There's a place for us to go. It's where we're going. This earth is not our home. And we're glad about that. We're going to go to the place where there's the living God. And then he says it's the heavenly Jerusalem. It's not the Jerusalem in Israel. God's got a plan for that, and that's going to happen according to the Bible. But we're talking about the heavenly Jerusalem. There's going to come a day when the Bible says regarding the heavenly Jerusalem where eternity will begin. Now look, where God is, it's always eternal. But when he talks about the day of God in the Bible, he speaks about the day when all of this will be over. And I think if you think for just a moment, you have experienced the flirtation of the Holy Spirit in your life regarding time expiring. Remember when you were young, time just kind of drug on. Do you remember when you were in school and you hated school, and school seemed, 1 year of school seemed to take 10 years? And then how long did summer take? Like a week. Summer was over in a week and you had to go back to the prison. I mean, school. Remember that? And then there comes a time, you know, as you're growing up and I don't know, maybe it's you're 10, 11, 12, maybe early 13s. Again, time just seems to be just in such a perfect balance. It's wonderful. It's a crazy time. And you're playing games or jumping off the roof or, you know, fishing or Xboxing or whatever you do these days. And time is what it is. And it's kind of cool. And then there is the latter years before you have to go be an adult. You can still be in high school and act like a lunatic and idiot and get away with it and have fun, and it's great. But then the pressure comes. It's your senior year. You got to be thinking about what college or what university to go to, what direction you're going to take. And the moment you make that step, what happens regarding time? Time begins to be, as it were, on a rocket sled. And what is 1 year on the calendar seemed like 9 months, right? And then the next year, it seemed, what was 1 year seemed like it went by in 6 months. And then as time gets further along and responsibilities are heaped upon you, you're living your life, all of a sudden 1 year feels like 3 months. Time just races by. I believe that that's God speaking to us, that eternity is approaching. Time is a strange thing. If you've ever been in a pretty severe accident, I don't know what makes it severe regarding what I'm about to say, but if you've ever been in a pretty severe accident, I have been before when I was about 13 years of age with my mom. We were going to the beach, and we got broadsided in an accident. A guy blew a red light in Huntington Beach, and bang, hit us. And when you see the car coming, and you know you're going to get hit. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You know it's going to happen. You can see it. And the moment you know this is going to be a big deal, what happens? Yeah, everything slows down. You see the car coming, and your mind is going 1,000 miles an hour. Let's get out of the way, get out of the way, get out of the way. And you see the car coming. And you see the guy. Whoa. And then all of a sudden you hear the crash and the glass coming in. And all of the stuff, it's all in slow motion, and your mind is going 1,000 miles an hour in that accident. I believe that's the hand of God. Slowing down the moment where you see it coming. Could I die? Are we in danger? What's going on? And yet your mind's going 1,000 miles an hour. Why? I think that's the mercy of God. And I think that's a little flirtation about time and eternity. Last night we were going to a Christmas party with our family. And we were in an area of Anaheim Hills and it was dark. And I'm going along and thank God Ashley was in the back seat of our SUV. And I never saw the guy. He was dressed in black. He had black hair, black shirt, black pants, black shoes. He was drunk, crossing the road on foot. I never saw the guy. Believe it or not, I was going the speed limit, which is about 40 miles an hour. And she screamed. I never saw the guy. She screamed, and I swerved and slammed on the brakes. Thank God for anti-lock brakes. I'm telling you right now, I would have killed the guy. And we just missed this man. And, you know, you get feelings at that moment. As a Christian, I'm thinking, whoa! Well, that, you know what I'm saying? I had to lay my hands on that guy. But pray for him. And then I had to jump out and lead him to the Lord. Or, you know, you go through all these feelings. Like, oh my goodness. And you are brushing up against time and eternity. It's a weird feeling. The Bible says that we're going to go to a place where there's the heavenly Jerusalem, where it's eternal. And the Bible says that it's going to be a place where there's thousands. Now, that word actually in the Greek does not mean thousands. It's recorded in English as thousands. The word means thousands upon thousands or myriads upon myriads. We would use the word more accurately, an innumerable amount of angels. Listen, those of you who have given your heart to Christ and you know all about Christmas and the spirit of it, you're going to be in heaven someday and you're going to see a myriad of angels. That's going to be awesome. I can't wait. In joyful assembly, the Bible says. And I love that because in Luke chapter 2, as we've studied all month, that the angels rejoiced at the birth of Jesus Christ. We're going to see angels. And then that next verse goes on to say that we have come to the assembly of God's firstborn children. What a great thing that is. That's a declaration that we have come as believers. Hebrews 12:23 is talking about those who've become true believers in Jesus Christ. Not with their lips, but with the actions of their life and heart. They're for real. They're not led about by some emotionalism. They're led about by the theology of God. They make their decisions based upon what God says, not what their feelings say. They live their life in a different way. We seek God's word because it is His eternal word that gives us, as it were, the light and the lamp into the path, into our feet of life. God's word. And the Bible tells us here that we are His children, firstborn, meaning that we, as Jesus said, must be born again to come into the kingdom of God, born a second time. The Bible says whose names are written in heaven. Aren't you glad about that? The Bible says for all of you who understand Christmas and you've come to Christ, your names are written down in heaven. You ought to ask yourself tonight, do you know that your name is written down in heaven? You can know that. You ever go to some place where you're supposed to have reservations or you're supposed to have a ticket? You know, these days with airline travel, you go now and you take it, you know, because they're saving trees, right? They're saving paper. So you don't get a ticket anymore. You go to the little kiosk computer and it says stick in your driver's license or a credit card because it reads your ID. You stick it in there and you're supposed to get a ticket. Supposed to have your name on there. And I always get a little nervous because it says, you know, thank you for flying with us. And here's your seat number. Is this your real name? Press yes. Is this your... And I get a little nervous about that. Because if you've got to be somewhere, you don't want to talk to some computer to confirm this thing that you're going to be setting your life upon. You're going to be sitting in this tin can flying through the sky with two guys strapped to the front of it up there. And the thing says, you know, is this really you? I don't like the insecurity about that part. I want to know, And I want them to know. And you think about that regarding heaven. The Bible tells us that our names are to be written down in heaven. We're to know that. We're not to live this life in doubt about that. We don't pull up and at the end wonder, is this really for me? Is this really my name? And I hope I'm in the system. The Bible says that you are to know that you're in the system. Because he's not a computerized God. He's a real living God. And you can't get any more living and alive than for God to become a human being as Jesus Christ came into this world for us. And he goes on to say, we have come to God himself. What a radical statement that we can come to God himself. You guys, do we even get that? That we can come to God himself? The Bible says that we come to God himself through Jesus Christ our Lord. And then Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but through me. And you say, well, man, that is so narrow. And that's what we've talked about this last month regarding when God came down in the Christmas theme. It is narrow. Of course it's narrow. By the way, everything that is wonderful is unique and narrow and often difficult to find, or sometimes there's few people that pursue that. Jesus says, broad is the way that leads to eternal destruction, and many people are on that path. But he said, narrow is the way, and few people are on that path that leads to eternal life. And the scripture tells us that we have come to God himself. Jesus said of himself, I'm the door. He says that he will open up to anyone who will come. Isn't that an awesome thing? That's what, think about it. That's why billions of people will be celebrating Christmas around the world. Billions. He's attractive. His message is attractive. Who, it says, God, we have come to, who is the judge of all nations. And we have come to the spirits of the redeemed in heaven. He's talking about those who have died and gone ahead of us, who trusted Christ. They're in heaven. And the Bible says, listen, that we have come to the spirits of the redeemed in heaven who have now been made perfect. Isn't that good? Isn't that great? Inside the human heart is this desire, I believe, to do the right thing. Unless you're sick. I really mean that. I think if you are nuts, weird, something off, you want to do the right thing. I think God put that in the human heart and the human spirit to do the right thing. God put it within us to know what's right and to know what's wrong. And the Bible tells us that in heaven, there are those who have been made perfect. But you want to ask the question, how am I made perfect? Well, that's what the Christmas story is all about. We're made perfect by the Son of God coming into the world and living a life that you and I couldn't live. Dying on a cross for our sins. We could not do, but he did for us. And because death could not hold him down, the Bible says because he's sinless, the grave couldn't hold him. He rose again from the grave. Only God can do that. The Bible says that there's one go-between, one mediator between man and God, and that is the man Christ Jesus. So Jesus came. You say, well, I want to go to heaven. That's great, but you got to come the same way that those who are in heaven came by. And that is by putting your absolute trust in Jesus Christ. Listen, there's no offering tonight. It'd be a great offering tonight. There's a lot of people here. We're not going to take an offering. We're not interested in that. Well, come on, Pastor, pass the plate so I can feel better about putting my money in there because God will be impressed with my $10 bill. God will not be impressed with your $10 bill. God wouldn't be impressed if you had a $10,000,000,000 bill. That's not how you get there. Well, today I walked 10 little old ladies across the street, and I got my merit badge for that. That's not how you get to heaven. You can't get there from here doing anything except one thing first, and that's coming to him and saying, Lord, I'm asking you to forgive me of my sins. You are the Savior. You are the King. You are the God that came down for me. What a great song. By the way, I thank God for the worship team tonight and AJ leading us in that song that we sang at the end. I've never heard that song before. That is a great, great song. How many kings or how many gods or how many lords would have left their homes or their kingdoms or their place to come? And yet Jesus did that. And then the final part of that verse says that we have come to Jesus, the one who mediates the new covenant between God and people by the sprinkling of his blood. Jesus does that. That's why we have such a great, exciting opportunity at Christmas. Jesus Christ came into the world to get to the cross. Jesus Christ came into the world to die. He said that himself. See, it's an amazing thing. As we've talked all this month together about the baby coming, a lot of people want to leave Jesus in the manger. We talked about that last week. But he's not in the manger anymore. He's enthroned in heaven above. He's sitting at the right hand of God the Father. And the Bible says he's coming back. He's not in the manger. He came once in the manger. And once he went to the cross. And once he went to the grave. And once he rose again from the grave. He will never do those things again. He only had to do them once. But the Bible announces to us that we've come to Jesus. And he mediates in this new covenant between God and man. It's awesome. There's a lost world, and all of us, listen, until we come to Christ, I don't mean to insult you looking so cute and pretty tonight, but listen, the Bible says all of us are lost until we come to Christ. We are wandering around this globe trying to find meaning, purpose, and fulfillment. And don't think you're not lost if that's not you tonight, because you'll do it through sexual pleasure, or you'll do it through drugs, or you'll do it through some sort of a rush achievement. It could be some adrenaline. It could be whatever it is. That's what you're doing to build or have meaning in your life. And you go from one thing. Some people go from one rush to the next. And it's what they live for. And I'm not knocking them. I used to do the same thing. Oh man, wasn't that so great? Wasn't that awesome? Let's do this. Let's do that. And you go from one thing to the next until life becomes boring. And you drive just 30 minutes, 40 minutes from here. And you see all the homes of Bel Air and Hollywood and Brentwood. All of those incredible mansions. And you wonder, wow, what would it be like to live like that? Well, you can just simply open up the newspaper the next morning and read about what it's like. Divorce every 12 to 14 months. Drug rehab in Malibu. All the money in the world. All the stuff that in your psyche, you're thinking, boy, if I just had fame. If people just recognized me on the street. Or if I had the money. If I had the power. Listen, people have those things. And they're lost and empty and lonely. And so a life without God buys things and tries to acquire things, and you look at that thing for a moment, and let's be honest, it's just like a drug fix. Oh, look, it's great. If you've ever owned a new car, it says the exact same feeling. First of all, you don't even have to like the car, but the moment you smell the car, it's like, I'm going to get this car. Oh, remember I told you about the guy who walked in front of our car last night? Well, in the back seat, we had a crock pot full of beans. Yep. And where'd they go? Everywhere. So I had to get all the beans cleaned out today. And it's all in the metal and in underneath the seat and just oozed down. And they worked real hard on it today. It still smells like a bean burrito. Why? Why? Because the beans got everywhere, and that situation, that whole thing, you think about the smell. You think about the damage. You think about what's done. And the guy tells me today, which I understand. I mean, it's kind of a bummer, but he goes, I said, it stinks. You got to get the stink out of there. And he said, now listen, a lot of people think, you know, we can just clean the carpet and it's going to smell like a new car. He said, it's down, it's the padding down underneath. It's that It's the stuff we can never get to. That's the smell of a new car. And I thought, oh, then I got to get a new car. Why? Because it's all about the smell. And it's so new and it's real protective. And then you spill a bunch of beans. And it's like, oh, who cares now? You get a scratch in the car and it's like, okay, might as well just push shopping carts out of the way with the thing now. Oh, I got a new suit. I got a new suit. And then some bird flies over and it's like, who cares about the suit? Life is like that. Without Jesus Christ, listen, I'm not asking you to be religious tonight. I'm asking you to have a relationship with God. Nothing in your life will fit the hole that's in your heart. There's a God-shaped hole in your heart. And only Jesus Christ can fix that. And that's why we're here tonight. That's why I love Christmas. I love Resurrection Weekend too, Easter. I love Thanksgiving. And it's awesome reading the Bible because you read that every day, then you love it. It's like, oh man, every day. It's like awesome. As Christians, do we have struggles? Yes. Do we have difficulties? Absolutely. But man, we know the way. And we're following the way. And when the world says, hey, come on, try this. It's great. Man, it's great getting old. It's great. Because the world goes, man, you got to have this. And he's like, man, I already had one of those. It's a piece of junk. It's not going to work. Or you begin to learn, never had one, don't need one. Because everything's the same. But when the Christmas Christ moves inside of your heart, and you celebrate the real meaning of Christmas, everything changes. They can outlaw this holiday of the birthday of Jesus Christ. They can talk about it all they want on TV. And God bless Governor Huckabee tonight on Fox News. He gave to, what was it, on the Neil ratings, there were 5 million people watching that program tonight. And he gave the gospel to 5 million people tonight on Fox News. Praise the Lord. That's awesome. All around the world. They show the Pope on the news. And after he got tackled today, did you see the Pope got tackled today? Some lunatic lady jumps over the railing and tackles. Number 49 goes after him. Can you imagine tackling the Pope? Pope goes down, gets up. Dust off his Pope suit and gets up there and actually gave the gospel. That's awesome. I think about little church gatherings. I think about big gatherings all around the world. The gospel's going forth. We're sitting here tonight and we know the gospel. Jesus Christ came, born in Bethlehem, to go to the cross to die for our sins so he would purchase what you and I could not for us. Turns around the gift of God, hands it to us if we'll take it. You got to take a gift. You got to take it, and you take it. You accept Him as Lord and Savior. Heaven awaits. And He sprinkles, as it were, salt and pepper over your life as a taste enhancer en route to heaven. Every day in the life of a true believer, you get excited about heaven more and more every day. But we are here tonight because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We know in whom we believe. We're excited about that. And no matter what someone might say, you can't pray in Jesus' name, or you can't any longer. Imagine if they were to say, you can't have Christmas services anymore. Guess what? We will pray and we will have Christmas services. Even if we're in a little closet with a candle, we're still going to be reading it. We're still going to be celebrating it because it's in your heart. You can't take it out if it's in your heart. It's an awesome thing to realize. It's a wonderful thing to know. And so I'm going to ask you right now, if you just bow your head and pray, that maybe tonight, that you would make a decision for Jesus Christ. Now look, we are packed out. And I'm not going to ask you to come forward tonight. I'm not even going to ask you to raise your hand, I guess. I don't know. If I can see your hand or not, I'll try. But just bow your heads and just prepare your hearts. And I want you to understand this right now. We are all in this together. Tonight you might be thinking, well, you know what? I've got this and I've watched the History Channel. I don't believe in Jesus. Okay, you go ahead and believe in the History Channel. See where that gets you. But I want you to think for a moment. You're going up against the very Word of God, the Bible, which announces to you that God loves you, that Jesus Christ came for you and I. There's no heaven without Him. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus says, I am the living water. If you drink of me, you'll never be thirsty again. He says, He's the bread of life. If you eat of Him, you'll never hunger again. Jesus said, if you accept me and acknowledge me before men, I will acknowledge you before my Father, which is in heaven. And I almost can see Jesus with a sad look on His face when He also said, if you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father, which is in heaven. This is your great moment right now. I know you're in a room packed with people, but this is between you and God, not us, not me, not anyone that brought you here tonight. Right now, would you say, I believe that I have sinned against God. I have broken all 10 commandments or one of them. I have lied or I have had a lustful thought or an angry thought. I have sinned in my life and I know that I need the forgiveness of God in my life because He's holy, pure, and just, and I need to make it right with Him. And so to do that, I want to come to Jesus tonight. I want to ask Jesus Christ to be my Lord and Savior. If you're willing to do that tonight, I'm going to lead you into prayer in a moment. Are you willing to pray that prayer with me? I'll lead you through it. Will you raise your hand? Heads bowed, please. Eyes closed. Are you willing to do that tonight? Right where you're at? God bless you in the back. Anyone else? Over here, my goodness, to my right. Lots of people there, right here up front. Anyone else? Raise your hand high. Don't be afraid. God bless you in the back right there, way to my left, over there on the aisle. God bless you. Anyone else not yet raised their hand and you know you ought to? God bless you right there. Boy, you know what? We have some smart young people in here tonight. To my left, hands are, okay, look, there's hands all over the place. It's awesome. Here's the deal. We're going to pray right now. Those of you who raised your hands, pray this prayer. By the way, it's not a magical prayer, but if you mean it, God will hear you. Pray this. Dear Lord, I'm coming to you tonight. I understand the message enough to know that I heard that Jesus died for me and that I can't get to heaven without Him. And so, Father, I'm asking you now to forgive me of my sins, to give me new life, to start over. I want you to take control of me, my thoughts, my actions. I want to be a real believer. I want to live for you. So God, I'm giving you my life tonight, and I thank you for that, because I confess now that Jesus died and rose again from the grave for me. And so, Lord, I thank you for making this my Christmas gift, eternal life through Jesus Christ. It's in His name we pray, and all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Now, friends, listen, those of you who raised your hands, there's too many of you. I mean, there's not too many. Don't get me wrong. I'm grateful. But if you live in the area, then you can come to this church or a Bible-believing church. If you're visiting from afar, go to a Bible-believing church. We can disciple you on our website, audio. You can go there, click on, listen. That's great. We'd love, maybe in the next days ahead or a week or next few weeks ahead, you could write us a note saying you made that decision. But we'd love to know who you are. Let's all stand together. And let's close in this song of worship. Church, we've done it all month long. I'm going to do it again right now. Merry Christmas!
Merry Christmas!
God bless you guys. Have a great Christmas.